Hello, America, and welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about Bernie Sanders and religious freedom.
By the way, Chris, welcome back to the podcast. This is like the first one you've been on in like 3 or 4 weeks.
It's been a while.
Man, glad to have your voice back.
Yeah, I'm still kicking myself that I missed the podcast with James K. Smith.
You missed with,
we won't go there.
With one of your favorite authors.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
You know, we won't go there.
Some commenter on Twitter said that he heard that I laughed during the Jamie Smith podcast, and he heard me like breathing through my nose trying to re-catch my breath, and he thought that was really enjoyable because he thought that was a really big laugh, which I just felt like it's real odd to me that people are like commenting on how my breathing sounds. On the podcast.
Very distinct breathing, I guess.
When I'm laughing.
You're breathing kind of heavy these days.
Dusty White's here. He's not feeling too good.
Feeling all right. Feeling all right. Faking it through the podcast a little bit.
Fake it till you make it.
A little fatigued, but it's okay.
All right, so Bernie Sanders and religious freedom. 2 weeks ago, June 7th, in a confirmation hearing in the U.S. Senate, Senator Bernie Sanders took to task Russell Vought, who is a nominee for the Deputy Director of the Office of Management and Budget. And it raised what I think are some serious concerns for Christians, and it just put this issue of religious freedom on the radar in a helpful way because it shows very clearly some of the misunderstandings that are present in some liberal thinkers and sort of pluralists in our culture. And it also, I think, gives us a chance to talk about what it looks like for Christians to engage meaningfully in the public square. So we want to start the podcast just by playing the clip of Senator Sanders' interaction with Russell Vought. Let me set the context. Russell Vought is a graduate of Wheaton College and had written a piece for Wheaton College's magazine related to a faculty member who was dismissed from Wheaton because of her views on specifically on Muslims being saved, which was in conflict with the college's doctrinal statement. And so Senator Sanders is questioning Russell Vought about that article.
And that is in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent. You wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
There you go.
Voice of all. Let's just appreciate Bernie Sanders' voice. If there was a Bernie Sanders podcast that was just Bernie reading random things off the internet, I would subscribe to that podcast just because I like listening to that guy talk. He's got such a unique accent, and I like his voice.
How cool is it, though, that we just refer to him as Bernie? Like,
yeah,
how
Bernie.
Feel the burn.
You have to get to a certain place and certain status where we just refer to you by your first name. That's it.
All right, so here's the interesting thing about this interaction. It raises, I think, some serious concerns for Christians who would consider themselves supporters of Bernie Sanders. If that is you and you're listening, I think this puts you on the horns of a dilemma. Because what Senator Sanders did, and many people immediately after this hearing took place, started to write about this, places like The Atlantic, The National Review, that really he is applying a religious test for public office, which is something the Constitution expressly forbids. And so what Bernie Sanders' comments show here is that his view of America is not a place where Christians who are convictional are welcome. And so I think there's a lot for us to talk about here. I first of all, just want to, Russell Vaught did a great job in that interaction of just being a convictional Christian, not seeming defensive, not seeming argumentative, but just saying, hey, I'm writing a piece from a theological point of view. I'm a Christian. I have convictions. We have a statement of the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. I thought he really did an effective job of, I think, what Christians need to be like in the public square, which is unapologetically saying, here's where I'm coming from. Here's my point of view. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it feels to me like what we need to observe here is that Bernie Sanders misunderstands the nature of his own worldview. In other words, he's critiquing a point of view, Christianity, convictional Christianity, which you can only do by taking a point of view that is itself grounded in some convictions, right? His conviction being, this isn't the kind of nominee that represents what America needs or wants. And I think it's telling the question that Sanders asks at the beginning of that, because he quotes the little piece from the article where he says, where Russell Vaught says, Muslims aren't saved. Mm-hmm. And the question he asks is, do you think that statement was Islamophobic?
Yep.
And that's the place where it seems to me like Bernie Sanders has zero capacity to understand religious conviction. And this is something that actually, right after the election of Donald Trump, a lot of mainstream media outlets were starting to wrestle with the fact that they actually don't understand religion. They just sort of see it as this sort of weird view that some Americans have, but they don't actually comprehend it. And I think this is what Sanders is showing is... that if you are a convictional Christian, somehow that equals being Islamophobic, or he's trying to make that connection, which that's not the connection at all. And in fact, Russell Vaught said, look, I believe all human beings are made in the image of God, and that's how I need to relate to them. And this is the thing that even writers in the culture took issue with Bernie Sanders on, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Chris, what are your thoughts as you listen to the interaction?
The question that if we had Bernie sitting here, the question that I would ask, and really anyone who may be sympathetic to Bernie's kind of push on Vaught, is where's the evidence? Where is sort of the hard factual data to show that if Christians believe someone is going to go to hell because they have a deficient theology, that has impacted their ability to faithfully govern at any level, whether it be federal, state, local? I mean, where is the hard data to say, you know, you're going to be bad at governing, you're going to be bad in this responsibility? Because I think history is going to show, the history of this country is going to show, that actually that has had little to no impact. Not to say that there hasn't been, you know, that random person that has been a jerk to somebody and got weird, but on the whole, I would put this in the 98-99% that this has not ever been an issue practically in governing. And so where is this coming from? Like this is just, to me, this is almost just pure politics. This is pure posturing. This has nothing to do with actual, like, on the ground things that are really happening in government.
My greater concern is I think it represents a misunderstanding of religious freedom. in Senator Sanders' statement, so the day after, the media asked, hey, would you clarify, what were you meaning there? And so in his statement the day after this, Sanders said, in a democratic society founded on the principle of religious freedom, we can all disagree over issues, but condemning an entire group of people because of their faith cannot be part of any public policy. So his understanding of religious freedom is, it must mean something different to Bernie Sanders than you have a conviction that certain people are right and certain people are wrong, or that there's certain theology that is correct and certain theology that isn't correct. And it reveals that, in my mind, as I understand, and I'm just trying to read Senator Sanders' words at face value here, the left seems to have a view of religious freedom that doesn't actually account for what religious people believe. Mm-hmm. Like, you're free to, religious freedom means you're free to believe something as long as you don't believe it very much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the fascinating article to me was to read at a website called Public Discourse, the response by Ismail Royer, who is himself a Muslim. He's a program assistant at the Center for Islam and Religious Freedom. Okay, so this guy is a convictional Muslim. And here's what he writes. I am a Muslim, and thus obviously disagree with Vought that my theology is deficient. Rather, I believe his theology is deficient. I believe that Jesus is not God himself, but a prophet of God. And I believe that worshiping Jesus alongside God amounts to polytheism. I worship, as Joseph did, the one and unitary God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the triune God of the Nicene Creed. I do not apologize for this belief, nor should Vought apologize for his. His statements were not crude bigotry, but a passionate defense of his creed entirely within the realm of discourse of reasonable, civilized men and women. Vought's critics have accused him of demonstrating a clear hostility to religious pluralism. For them, this supposed hostility lies in Vought's assertion that his own religious beliefs are true and others are false. On the contrary, it is his critics who are hostile to religious pluralism. They seek to allow in the public square only those who believe as they do that all religious beliefs are equally true. The obvious irony is that if this were the case, Muslims themselves would be banned from public office. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really effective critique of exactly the problem in how Bernie Sanders is parsing the issue.
And in that statement of Bernie's that you read, where he, I think he ends the statement, something about our public policy.
Right.
That's an interesting statement to me, because what does Vought's theological belief have to do with public policy? It's not like he's running around trying to craft policy that excludes those who don't believe in that Jesus is the only way to salvation. So his conflating this theological belief with somehow with public policy is odd to me. And yes. Is that the byproduct of when politics is basically your religion, or has been, yes, elevated to such a prominent place that you just start mixing that, mm-hmm, the theology is always going to have this public policy dimension to it, mm-hmm, that or every aspect of theology, I should say, because of course theology does impact public policy, but you know how it does. And so he just kind of carte blanche takes every different piece of theology and say, well, mm-hmm, public policy. And so that to me is, it also betrays, you know, a lack of understanding on Bernie's part of how Christians have even talked for thousands of years about how their theology impacts public policy and in engaging politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like from Bernie's perspective, policy is the religion. And
yeah,
it's not
exactly
theologically informed, it's policy informing theology.
Yeah.
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 Emma Green, writing at The Atlantic, which again, not a Christian publication, not even I would say a conservative publication, makes this observation. It's one thing to take issue with bigotry. It's another to try to exclude people from office based on their theological convictions. Mm-hmm. Sanders used the term Islamophobia to suggest that Vought fears Muslims for who they are. But in his writing, Vought was contesting something different. He disagrees with what Muslims believe. He does not think their faith is satisfactory for salvation. Right or wrong, this is a conviction held by millions of Americans, and many Muslims might say the same thing about Christianity. So I have hope that even a writer at The Atlantic is acknowledging, this guy's not Islamophobic, he just has convictions, right, about theology. Those are two different things, Bernie. Let's,
yeah,
not confuse them.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, there's the issue of that in the Constitution, no religious test can be given or can exclude someone from office. And so Bernie just straight up defined the Constitution here.
Yes.
So there's also that piece of like, Bernie, hey, we have you on YouTube now, completely going against the Constitution, just bad form.
Yeah. Not good work for Senator. Yeah. The Emma Green Atlantic article says, Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution states that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. On Wednesday, Senator Bernie Sanders flirted with the boundaries of this rule. I was like, well, he did more than flirt with the boundaries. He basically just said you shouldn't be in public office because you're a Christian and you have convictions.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting, too. If in that earlier article that you quoted, he goes through the history of how that was included in the Constitution. And there was pushback to that initially because people feared the Jew and the Turk getting into public policy. And so in many ways, the fact that Bernie Sanders, which I'm pretty sure Bernie is, he's Jewish.
Yeah, I think he's a liberal Jew, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's necessarily practicing, but in the sense that he benefited from that exact clause that he is actually in office and even Muslims in office because of that. And so there's this kind of this irony of like, hey, you're there because people put a clause in the Constitution to prevent others from doing to you what you have just done to Vought. So there's some irony
and
there.
Really what he doesn't like is how Vought is speaking out as a Christian and taking an actual stand.
Yeah.
He would never do that. Well, I shouldn't say he would never do that as a Jew, but it didn't seem like, we don't have evidence of him doing that in any sort of publications.
Yeah, theologically at least.
Yeah.
So here's what this puts on the table, I think, for Christians, as we just think about our interaction with culture. Number one, we should be encouraged that there are people like Russell Vought. We should cheer for their continued engagement in public service. I think we should cheer for the fact that there are writers at places like The Atlantic acknowledging, hey, it's okay for Christians to have theological convictions. That doesn't equal Islamophobia, because that's important to continue to make those distinctions. And I think that Christians who are listening to this podcast just need to recognize when a senator of the United States can do this in a public hearing, it just makes it harder for you at work or at school to not have this happen to you. Meaning more and more people are sort of going to assume, well, because you have convictions about Jesus Christ and his centrality to salvation, you must be Islamophobic, you must not like Jews, you must be a bigot, you must be repressive. And so I think we can learn from Russell Vought's answer how we sort of need to respond to that stuff in just saying, hey, look, I'm convictionally a Christian. I'm not going to apologize for that. But here's what that commits me to. It commits me to understanding every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being is worthy of dignity, value, and worth. No human being should be excluded or treated hostilely or as an opponent simply because they hold a different point of view or conform to a different religion or disagree with my point of view. However, I'm going to operate from theological conviction. I think there's a need for Christians to sort of develop that non-defensive winsomeness that can just sort of hold your ground and say, no, Senator, it's not Islamophobic to say that Christians believe Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and therefore a professor at a Christian university who doesn't believe that probably shouldn't be teaching there. That's not an Islamophobic statement. That's not a statement about who's allowed in public policy. It is a statement about what it means to be convictionally a Christian at a convictionally Christian institution. So I think there's good learning for us there in just how we navigate the waters of people pressing, that you're bigoted because you have convictions about Jesus Christ.
And that's the interesting thing for me, Bob, is that if this is happening in a public hearing setting in our policy, these are the conversations that are happening. And then writers can write about them and see how ridiculous they are, even if they don't agree. That is where being a Christian over the next handful of years and into the future is going to have to be ridiculously courageous. That's exactly what you see with Vought. He's just saying, look, I'm unapologetically a Christian. He's not a Christian by association. He is leaning in with a ton of courage to his faith, unapologetically taking a stand. And that's where it's going to have to fit in for us as we're raising kids, as we're working in the workplace and just living in culture. Because if it's happening at that level, it's happening at our level, just subtly.
And I think that's a good argument for knowing why we believe what we believe and having a decently formed theology so that, like Russell Vought, we can stand on conviction, on theological principle, and know why and how to do that in appropriate times.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please get on iTunes and leave us a review. That way people can find us more easily. And we hope that you join us next week for another Wednesday conversation.